I'd like us to remain standing for the reading of God's words. If you read your Bibles, please, I'd like you to open to Luke chapter 17. We'll be reading from verse 12 to 19. Luke 17, verse 12 to 19. I'll be reading the New King James Version. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner?" Verse 19. And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And this morning, I've decided to title today's message, "But Where Are the 9?" Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that as we open your word, let your word be opened unto us, and let there be a transformation in our lives. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' matchless name we've prayed. And amen. You may be seated. Our brother John gave a testimony about how God was good to him. He said that he came to Lagos. He was a civil servant, I believe, from Uyo, where he moved to Lagos, and he moved with his family. And in just 3 months, he was introduced to a training. And in 2 weeks after the training, he was among those that were selected. You know, the thing that pained me about that testimony, it hurt me because I'm an engineer. It took me 5 years. It took him 2 weeks, Pastor. It took him 2 weeks. It took me 5 years to answer the name engineer. It took him just 2 weeks. That's the miracle in the testimony for me. Hallelujah. But there are things that we need to be grateful to God for. Things that we might not deem necessary. Things that we might not even consider as important. The fact that you are able to make it here today, irrespective of the fuel crisis, irrespective of the turmoil, irrespective of the suffering, irrespective of all that you are going through, you were able to make it here today. I think it's something that we need to be grateful to God for. I had a story about a young lady who felt a little bit down and went to the hospital. She had kids at home. She left them at home and went to the hospital. When she got to the hospital, they took her, you know how once you get there, they take your weight and they do your, check your vitals, check your BP. And they saw her BP was too high. And they said, "I'm afraid we cannot allow you go. You have to pass the night. You have to be admitted here." And she said, "No, she cannot be admitted though, that she had kids at home." And they said, "Your life is more important. What we see here is too dangerous to allow you go." She said she can't wait. And I'm sure that if you ask, a lot of us here have said the same things. So they asked her to sign, you know, those things that the doctors will say, "My hand, no deal." That's, you know, akamadre, that's the way they put it in very nice English. Then she signed it and left. She went to bed that day and didn't wake up. You go to bed every day. You have not had any checkup for the last 10 years. God has been faithful to us. God has been deeply faithful. I had a sad news this morning about a 24-year-old who recently died of cancer. 24 years old. We're going to go back to this scripture. Jesus was entering a city, and the Bible said that some men who were lepers saw him. And you know, the things about leprosy, many of us are not familiar with leprosy now because it seemed to have healing. But if you travel by road, I don't know if they are still there. There are some people that suffer from leprosy along the road. Maybe when you are going to the east, I used to see it just before Benin, or Re, something like that. Before Benin, they seem to have been there for so many years. Sorry? It's a leper's colony. Oh my goodness. There's a leper's colony because they are always supposed to be outside the city. And when Jesus was about entering the city, he came across this man who saw him from afar off. And they shouted, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The first thing I discovered about the leper was that they knew that Jesus could heal them. Praise the Lord. They knew that Jesus could heal them. They must have heard tales of Jesus. They have no relationship with him, but they knew that Jesus could heal them. They had faith that if they called upon his name, that he would heal them. If we read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The lepers had no relationship, but they knew that if we called upon his name, that he would hear them. And what did they cry for? The Bible said that they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." Jesus, Master. It reminds me of someone in the scripture, the blind man, who said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There is nothing that we are if not for God's mercy. There is nothing that you can achieve if not for God's mercy. The way we live our life is only for the mercy of God. Sometimes we pride about what we have achieved. The Bible said, "Let he that boast not boast because of his wisdom. Let he that boast not boast because of his riches. Let he not boast because of his strength, but boast that you know God." You know, we are so consumed about what we have. We are so consumed about what we have. There was a friend of mine who speaks with authority, who has a lot of money, as a matter of fact. He's a child of God. But one day, his family is in the United Kingdom. He moved his family recently to the United Kingdom. And then over Christmas period, they felt that they've been long there for a while and decided to come home with his family. And he came home and went to the East. You know how they say the insecurity is too overrated, that it's not as bad as it is. So he decided to go to the East and was driving in the East, along the East. One day he was moving. He has a wife and three girls. And he was moving through, you know, going from one part of the East to the other. And then in the middle of the road, somebody just walked into the middle of the road with a gun. He saw the man and just stopped his car and started to reverse. And the man started to shoot at him. So he moved so fast, farther away from the man, and then turned. Of course, the bullet hit the car, and immediately he stopped. He turned just to take the other way and move away. As he turned, another set of people came out. And while he was in the car, he came outside of the car and knelt down and said, "Please have mercy. Please have mercy." While he was there, the other set that was shooting at him came there and met them, and it was, and his wife and three kids were in the car. And he was there kneeling down in the middle of the road with his hands up. "Please have mercy." They used the gun, hit him, they beat him, they did all that. He still said, "Have mercy." The long and short of that story is that he went back into the car and drove his family out of there unharmed. He could not tell me the story. His daughter could not eat for 2 days. It was his wife that told me the story. This is a man who were designed to kill, to kidnap, to ask for ransom. This is a man. We are dealing with God. It does not matter the circumstance that you find yourself. When you open your mouth and say, "God, have mercy." God, have mercy. God will have mercy. God will have mercy. Some of us are going through very horrible situations. Some of us think that there is no, that your situation is such impossible that God cannot deliver you from it. Some of us are looking at the clock, waiting for the time that you will give up the ghost. All you need to do, put away everything that you know. Put away yourself. Open your mouth and cry out, "God, have mercy." God will have mercy on us. Hallelujah. I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. We're reading from verse 10 to 14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Praise the Lord. There are some people whose lives challenge me, that with everything that they have, they know that their source is of God. No matter the expertise that you have, no matter what you have achieved, this Pharisee felt that because he was righteous before his own eyes, that he's righteous before God's eyes. You think that your righteousness means anything to God. The Bible said that God is so holy that even your righteousness, all your good works, is like filthy rags. And do you know why we can't see God? Because he's too holy. He's too holy that he cannot behold iniquity. So you can't see him. So in all your righteousness, you are a filthy rag. I said here one time that the best of a man is still a man. And as long as we are men, we will fall short. As long as you live in the flesh, you will fall short. I was with my friend over the weekend, and then we were explaining how he's a very big man of God. You know, we're reminding his wife how big a man of God the man is. He said, please tell her, she doesn't know I'm a man of God. And I encouraged him, all our wives don't know we are men of God. Praise the Lord. All our wives don't know we are men of God. So if your wife or your partner cannot see that you are righteous, you can imagine how you are before God. Praise the Lord. We are nothing. Let us not go to God and feel that we have become something. There was a time we had a staff in my office who had been with us for years. And to be honest with you, she has been with us for years because it takes us, you have to do something very horrible before we can ask you to leave. It has to be maybe fraud or something. It can't be because of lack of performance. If it's lack of performance, we'll keep encouraging you to perform. So because she thinks that she had been with us for years, she applied for a loan. And she started to write her CV on the loan, that she had been with us for several years. She has not reported any fraud. She has not done that. She was listing her righteousness. And the management said, because of this, we will not give her. Not because she thought she was righteous. Unfortunately, we were merely enduring her shortcomings. We were merely enduring her shortcomings. There was nothing we did. Unfortunately, the management did not approve. Because if you think, let he that thinketh his stand, take heed, lest he fall. Don't go to God with your so-called righteousness. When we go to God, we must first acknowledge that he is God and you are nothing before him. I told you that I have always known that God was magnificent, but I did not really envisage how magnificent God was or is until I was on a boat. And I'm sure many of you have seen Titanic. Titanic sat 2,500 people on board. The boat I was in was sitting 4,000 persons. It was like a 16-story building on top of a boat. And we're in the middle of the sea, moving from Singapore to Malaysia. And I came out, my room had a balcony. And I came out and I saw that all that encompasses me was just water. And the magnificent boat was like nothing in the midst of the water. And I said, oh God, how great you are. We are nothing. When you come to him, kneel down with face down and say, God, have mercy on me. For we can obtain nothing but by his mercy. In verse 14, Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. Go show yourselves to the priest. You know, when we come to Jesus and ask for a problem, ask for a solution to our problem, and then Jesus gives an instruction, go show yourself to the priest. Let me ask you, do you think that the lepers were expecting Jesus to send them on errands? What is the normal thing Jesus does? He would lay hands on them. He would say, be healed. He would say, take poor spit on sand, mix it, touch them. He's not sending anybody on errand, but he came to my town and God said, go show yourself to the priest. Sometimes, when we come to God, we have a picture in our head of how you want God to solve your problem. You have it designed that this is exactly what Jesus is going to do. This is exactly what God is going to do. But surprisingly, there was nothing dramatic about what God said. Nothing. He just said, go show yourselves to the priest. People of God, let's stop putting God in a box. Remember the leprous Naaman, the leprous man, when he went to, is it Elijah or Elisha? And he said he should go and wash himself 7 times in the river called Jordan. And he's wondering, a general, who got, just lay hands on me and tell me to do something here. Don't send me to one gutter to go and bath. I serve with the king. There are so many beautiful waters. Why must it be that one? God works in mysterious ways. You believe that? God has different ways he reaches out to us. Somebody comes to give a testimony and you're saying, God, you have not done my own, because you want God to do it exactly how he did it for him. The solution to your problem might just be sitting next to you and you are not listening. Jesus gave them an instruction. Go show yourself to the priest. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The simple thing about the solution to our problem is simple obedience. And it's not necessarily obedience to spectacular things. It could be obedience to things that seem insignificant. Praise the Lord. It could be obedience to things that seem insignificant. You know, some people believe God more. When you have a problem and God says, go and fast for 40 days and 40 nights, you tend to believe that immediately after that, the answer to your problem will come. Am I correct? But if God says, the solution to your problem is, you have not seen your parents for 6 months, just go to the village and say hi to your parents. As simple as that. You ask yourself, what has going to see my parents got to do with solving my problem? We are missing out in the very simple things. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Is the priest greater than Jesus? Please tell me. I am with Jesus. And you say I should go and show myself to the priest. It's like I come to Pastor Femi, do please pray for me. Say, no, go and meet Pastor Collins. He will pray for you. How would you feel? Praise the Lord. Who is Pastor Collins? Why? I'm with you now. We thought the anointing. You say I should go and meet Pastor Collins. That always jokes around. You will not ask, can I see Pastor Yomi? Praise the Lord. I'm sure many of you are doing the same thing now. Praise the Lord. Simple instruction. Go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible said in verse 15, verse 15, please, multimedia, can you help us with verse 15? Luke 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible said, as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. And he said here, and one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, when he discovered, I never even reached the priest's place. People, I say this thing don't stop. When he discovered, when he saw that he had been healed, he quickly turned back. I went to give thanks. You know, this picture about expecting something spectacular. You are in your business and you have been trusting God. Your business needs to do well. Your business is not doing well. For 2 weeks, you make one sale. For 2 weeks, you make one sale. And you have been praying to God for God to come and visit your business. And the expectation of your visit is that one day you will make a sale of 10 or 50, and the next day you make a sale of 100, and you expect something significant. But God decides to visit you. But he visits you in the way that you don't. There's nothing spectacular about the visitation. The previous week you made a sale of 1. The next week you discovered that you've sold 3. The week after that, from 3, it becomes 5. Do you know that in your head, you will not think that God did it? Praise the Lord. Because it was not spectacular. It was not spectacular because you were expecting that somebody was going to come. Or like you had a business plan. And in your business plan, you wanted somebody to give you 10 million naira. And you've been praying to God for it. But God decides to visit you in another way. But God decides to visit you by blessing your already existing business. And you needed no money. But it took a while. So as you went, you discovered, oh, it doesn't look like I need this money anymore. Do you know? I used to do this thing. I even did it yesterday. I was checking how much I had. And I was calculating. And I could not explain where some money came from. I didn't think I was supposed to have up to that amount. But I'm saying, did somebody pay in money or is there something that happened? And I could not explain it. I discovered that I had made some expenses. And I'm looking and I'm seeing that. I will say it in English. Praise the Lord. And I'm wondering, what is happening? The Bible said, as they went, they were healed. When he discovered, people of God, you need to check. Praise the Lord. You need to check. You need to check. Every day, every month in your life, you used to borrow. 1 month, you did not borrow. You did not realize it. You need to check. Praise the Lord. You used to live from hand to mouth. Now you discovered that you have started giving somebody. When somebody asks you for 10,000, you discover that you were giving 10,000. You didn't even know that you could give 10,000. You just checked, okay, I can spare 10,000, and you spared. You didn't know that God had visited you. As they went, we don't have to get to the destination before God visits us. God does not need to take permission from us to visit us. God does not need to make your visitation spectacular. All you want is that God visits you. And my prayer this morning is that the Lord will visit us in this house in the name of Jesus. As they went, they were healed. When he discovered that he was healed, he came back and gave thanks to God. Today we asked for testimonies. Two people came out. Some people will say that every time they ask for testimonies, I always come out. That people will start complaining. Let people complain that God is blessing you. Praise the Lord. Let people complain that God is blessing you. Let somebody say, oh, I don't have a spectacular testimony today. But if God visited you, please come and tell the people of God that God visited you. If you realize that God has blessed you, you know how we are so much overshadowed by our problems. Now we don't want to give God glory for the one that he has done. Went to pray for somebody who was a beggar. He said, please, oh, I don't want to leave this place, oh, because this is my only source of income. I don't want to leave this place. Oh. If I leave this place, there's nothing more I'm going. You know the lepers, they may be begging along before Benin. And you want to pray for them. They say, please, if you pray for me now, what will I be doing? And that's the attitude of some of us. This man went back and gave God glory. People of God, we need to have the attitude of thanksgiving. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, were they not 10 that were healed? Where are the 9? In other words, Jesus expects us to thank him. Praise the Lord. Jesus expects us to thank him. If you are here and people do things for you and you don't have a heart of gratitude, please, I would like you to repent. You know this generation, we have this entitlement mentality that when people do things for us, you don't think it's important. Forgive me, I'm going to say this here. There was a time I bought something for Pastor Yomi and I gave it to him. Very small thing. Very tiny thing like this. I gave it to him, please. I was even shy. I struggled with my wife. Do I give Pastor Yomi this thing? Do I give him? He said, give him now if you bought it for him, because I actually bought it for him. So I didn't give him immediately. I waited long because I felt it was too small. Eventually, I gave it to him. You know how they say, no matter if it's too small, package it in one big thing so that it looks big. I didn't package it in a big thing though, because I don't like that kind of deception. So I just took it to him. He said, oh, Pastor Collins, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And then he took it. One day I saw a missed call on my phone. And it was Pastor Yomi's missed call. So I called him back. Ah, sir, what's the problem? He said, no, I just wanted to thank you for the gift. Ah, Isibakam. Do you know what Isibakam means? As in, I was confused. He called me back to say, thank you. I really appreciated this gift. I said, who are we? What do we think we are? What do we think that we are? He called me back. In the same way I gave Pastor Collins something. He called me. Ah, Pastor Collins, you don't even know this thing that you gave me. So I said, ah, what did I give? Pastor Kola called me back. I don't want to talk about senior pastor's home. Since then till now, he's still talking about it. There's no conversation I have with him that he doesn't talk about something I gave long ago. they were grateful. And somebody will do something for you. You know what you do? With your SMS, you just say, much appreciated. Thank you. They just reply, received, thanks. Abba, Jesus. Abba. You just say, thanks. Sometimes, we even call, I sent something, no? Did you get it? Did you get it? You now say, oh yes, I was planning to call you. I was planning to call you. Hi, God. Oh my God. No gratitude. No gratitude. Nothing. We are so ungrateful. And you know, you don't understand the sacrifices people make just to meet your need. And you cannot so much as see, thank you. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? And if you can do this to man, do you know the number of things that we have done to God? I said one time that I told my wife that I hear every time you are praying and praying. I don't hear when you pray for Thanksgiving. You don't thank God. I told my wife this. Every time you are praying, speaking in tongues, doing this, doing that, I have never seen when you spend that much time just thanking God. We have all forms of prayer. We do all forms of things. We don't make out time to say, God, I thank you. If you don't know what God has done in your life, go and try the Esther challenge. You know the Esther challenge? Establish. Esther was broke and hungry. But now, establish. Black and broke and hungry. Now, Esther don't establish. That thing was very funny. But that just shows you how good God is. If you are happy that God is good, put your hands together for the Lord. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. You missed that contract. In everything, give thanks. You lose that job. In everything, give thanks. It might be so hard that you lose a loved one. In everything, give thanks. It can be very difficult. It can be very difficult. The devil can lie to us that your life could have been better. I was away over the weekend. I was privileged to be invited to speak in an event. TEDx. How many of you have heard of TEDx event? TEDx. And then when I saw the speaker lineup, Peter B., Paul Onwadibe. Paul Onwadibe is the owner of Landmark. The owner, the CEO, the man in the lion's den. And they are putting their pictures and they put my name there. Praise the Lord. So, and I saw billboards. Billboards. As in this billboard. Some people call me. Call this. What is happening? Even me, I don't know. Bulletproof cars they used to carry us every time. I was on the flight. I was sitting next to the Landmark guy. I was sitting next and we were talking. He was opening his phone, showing me all, you know, the problem he's having. He was showing me. I said, God, now wow. And then somebody gave me a call yesterday. Asked me a question that surprised me. He said, Collins, I saw this event. Please, How were you invited for that kind of event? Do you know, for the first time in my life, I didn't know what to answer. Because how was I invited for that, to speak with those kind of people? I can't explain it all. I said, well, maybe I'm something in my industry. But I know that it is only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. When I preach on the same platform as the senior pastor and Pastor Yomi and Pastor Kola, why can't I speak on any platform? Why can't I speak on any platform? I met Kanayo. Kanayo was also one of the speakers in that event. So I went to meet him. Ah, YBS spent his greeting. He said, my man! And Kanayo was there, please give me your number. He was begging me for my number because I mentioned I know YBO. Please give me your number. Ah, let's chat. Let's do this thing. And then tomorrow, my head will now swell. My head will now swell. Now, if you come to see me, I say, please just meet my PA that I don't have. You know, there are little things that we have been ungrateful for. There are little things. Just look at your life. Look at where you work. Look at how many years you have stayed. Maybe you've been jobless, but you still look like $1 million. You don't think that you need to give God glory. You think you are not doing so well, just go back to your village. I went to a burial and I saw somebody that it seemed like I recognized on the street, one leg off, and he was begging. And I almost ran to him because I wanted to say, ah, you my old friend. And I saw everything around him. He was actually begging on the street. Oh my God. I didn't know what to do. With all the smile, everything just vanished. I just put my hand in my wallet. Somebody I wanted to embrace. How are you? I couldn't even remember his name because I knew him when we were kids. And you think that God is not good to you. I'd like us to rise up on our feet. This kind God, another one no day. I like us to sing that song. We are going to thank God for what He has done for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My voice is not good, though. Help me.
This kind God, another one no day.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word. We will not be ungrateful. Today, we make a pledge that we will be grateful to you. No matter what we find ourselves, we will be grateful to you. And Lord, this morning we say thank you. 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 Thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, we say thank you for giving us the sun for light in the day and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for light in the night. Lord, we thank you for allowing the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Lord, we say thank you. In spite of our unrighteousness, Lord, you have been so good to us. And Lord, we say thank you. Receive all the glory, Father. With a heart of thanksgiving, Lord, receive the praise of your people. In Jesus' matchless name, we have prayed. If you are happy to be in God's presence, come on, put your hands together for the Lord.